Okay, let's begin. Meister Sheni, Daf Yud Dalet, 14. And we are on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, talking about proper usages of Meister Sheni. This parak is about Meister Sheni Nitan. That's the name of the parak, about what you're allowed to use Meister Sheni for. We had at the beginning of the parak, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Meister Sheni can be used for eating, drinking, or smearing things that are normally right eaten. Lechol davar shachol lechol. Lasuch davar shadakol lasuch. But you can't misuse. Can't misuse. That's what we're in the middle of discussing. Misusing certain items. So I think we are on the second wide line on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, fourth to last line. Lo yasuch yayin v'chometz. A person is not allowed to smear themselves with wine or vinegar of Meister Sheni, because those are usually drunk. Aval sachu es hashemen, but he's allowed to use oil, because oil is smeared. That was the behavior of the day. So therefore, that's allowed. Hachoshe says rosho osha alu bo chatatin, if somebody has a headache, or alubah chatatim, he has some type of scabs or bruises on his head. Sach shemen v'lo yasach shayin v'chometz. Again, sach shemen. Shemen is allowed, even though it has kedusha, but that's the normal usage of oil of Meister Sheni, and that's why it is allowed. But not allowed to use yayin v'chometz, wine and vinegar. Those are usually drunk, and therefore, well, that would be a bizayin of the kedusha to use it for Meister Sheni. Ava mafati muasa yayin. But we also had a chilek in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said you're not allowed to put spices into oil of Meister Sheni, because those spices that are put in are not edible, and therefore they just absorb some of the oil, and that Meister Sheni will go li'ibud. But you could put the spices, mafati muasa yayin, you could put it into the wine, because that whole thing is digestible and is drunk. And that's why it says mafati musa yayin. Says the Brisa, yayin shal Meister Sheni shepitmo aser lasuch bo. If you have wine of Meister Sheni that you spiced, like you're allowed to, you're not allowed to smear with it. This is wine. Why not allowed to smear? Shemen shal Meister Sheni shepitmo. But if you have oil of Meister Sheni that you were mafatim, that you weren't allowed to be mafatim, but you did, as the Mishnah said, you're not allowed to. But if you did, motor lasuch bo, you could use it, right? Because the oil of Meister Sheni is you're allowed to smear. The problem was just that the spices that you put in absorb some of the oil, so that oil is done. That oil is already ne'evad. But whatever's left, one is allowed to use. Ma bein zeh lazeh, what's there between oil and wine? Why is one mutter and one aser? So says the Mishnah. Says the Gemara. Zeh darko lakach, v'zein darko lakach. Question is it normal? Is it normal for a person to smear? So it's normal to smear oil, but it's not normal to smear wine, and that's the difference between the two. Fine. Rabbi Yudin Bai, Rabbi Yehuda asks, Shemen shal Meister Sheni shenisrach, oil of Meister Sheni that became putrid, that is no longer ro'i la'achila. Right, so oil, we generally do not drink straight. The Gemara at the beginning of the sixth parak of Brachas in the Bavli discussed that how do you ever make a bracha on oil? The Gemara says you make a bracha on oil, bar pre'etz. You're never going to drink the oil. If you just drink it down, that's mazik. And therefore, maybe there's no bracha, right? Or there's a Rashi that says you make a shahakal. But says the Gemara here, if you have Meister Sheni oil, that became nisrach, dalachi. The question is, Reb Chaim Kadievsky, ve'eno ro'i la'achila, aval adayin ro'i l'sicha. It's smearable, but usually the oil that you use is also drinkable. But you're allowed to use it for smearing, because that's also a normal usage. So the question here is, if it no longer is drinkable, but it's just smearable, does it lose its kedusha? And the Gemara says, for sure. Rabbi Mana, Mikima Chenisrach, Pakim and Kedusha. So that really can't be the question. Once it's Nisrach, of course it lost its Kedusha, because the ultimate, it was already in the category of Machal Adam. So once it no longer is Machal Adam, Meister Sheni is only Chal on Machal Adam. And therefore, if it's no longer Machal Adam, so then of course, for sure it lost its Kedusha. That's not really the question that Rabbi Yudin was bothered by. Matzri Chale, what was his question? Shvius. If somebody has shvius oil, so shvius kedusha is not only chal on ma'achal adam, even ma'achal behema. If ma'achal behema has, if it's normal for the animal to eat this, and therefore the question the Gemara asks is, what happens if oil of Shemitah became einoroi lishtos? Af al pisha nisrach b'kedusha sahu? Right, so this is a question that's unanswered, or others say it's a statement, but we'll go with a question. Right, if it becomes putrid, does it lose its kedusha? Right? Why? Again, Rav Chaim Kadievsky says The real question is Shvius. Ma yesh lechal is topic b'shemen shel Shvius shenisrach. Tekivan de Shvius lav la'achila dafka koi. Shvius is not only la'achila, ela lechal davar shehana aso u bi u roshavin. Anything that is destroyed as it is consumed. Right, Hanaso Biyoshavin, like the Gemara says, it says in Shvius, Hilkach Yish Lachal Is Tapek Nisrach Mai Mipaka Le Kedusha O Shema Avavishin Nisrach Bekedushasahu. So that's the Gemara's question, which is unanswered. The question is about this question is, one second. If you have something that's Roy Lamachal Behema to begin with that has Kedusha Shvius, but now you're asking if it originally had Machal Adam ability, and now it got ruined, and it's only Roy L'machal Behema, it might lose its Kedusha? Why is that? Regular Machal Adam is Kadosh, B'Kedusha Shvius. So regular Machal Behema. So just because it went from Machal Adam to Machal Behema, it goes down, why should it lose its Kedusha? So Rabbi Yosef Engel in the Gilyon HaShas, right, we know he has a couple of pages on Yerushalmi, so he says, you see from here, even if something is Roy to begin with, but in one category, but if it's supposed to be something above, and then it gets ruined, it might be worse. The kiva de shvius naga gamba machal behema lochena dai de kedusha shvius alav kedin machal behema. Do we say it still has kedusha? Oh, Dilmore, maybe not. Kiva de pakami menu al kapanim kedushas machal adam. Once machal adam is no longer on it, lochena kiva de tchil hatcholas hakedusha lahafkia pakalagamri. Once it started losing its kedusha, it loses. Machal Behema never lost anything. It is what it is. If you have something that's roy to use for Machal Adam, like oil, and then it lost it, then maybe it's worse. And he says, similar to, look in Bechoras Mem Zayin. So we have mentioned this Bechoras Mem Zayin through the eyes of a contemporary Achron, not Rabbi Yosef Engel. But now we get to quote it from Rabbi Yosef Engel, and then we'll see the other Achron. What Bechoras Mem Zayin? Levia Shazinsa. A Levia who is Mizaneh, she still is called a Levia. For halachas that a Levia has. Levia Shezinsa, Yesh La'adayin Kedushas Levia, Le'inyin, Heislam de Levia. Right, what if she has a child, Pidyon HaBen, so she's still called a Levia. But a Kohenes Shezinsa, Hari Le'kizara, says the Gemara. A Kohen is in the Shevet of Levi. So if she goes down from being a Kohenes, just go down one level. Be like a Basko, be like a Levi. No. The Gemara says she's like a Zara. She loses everything. So what do you see from there? If a person starts off with a certain level, so then fine. If you lose it, you don't lose anything. But if you start off with a higher level, the greater they are, the harder they fall. Right? That's what you get from that Kohenes and Levia. He quotes that. Where have we seen this before? Not through Rabbi Yosef Engel, but we've seen this through the Meshech Chachma. The Meshech Chachma that comes up every couple of months here in Daf Yomi land. Right, in Parshas B'Shalach, on the Pasuk of Ad Yavar Amcha Hashem, the Meshech Chachma quotes this Gemara in Bechoros Daf Mem Zayin, Levia Shenivla Bilas Nus, Nosin Laben Amaiser V'Ocheles, Kohenes Kivan De Ivala Havile Kizara, V'Yafilu Kedushas Levia Paka Mimena. Right, and he says, first of all, compare this, what do you see from this concept? Sometimes, it's like I'll give it a mashal, you have a balloon. If you have a huge balloon and you pop it, it makes a much louder sound than if you have a smaller balloon and you pop it. So the bigger it is, the harder they fall, literally. So a Kohenes that does something falls further down, and therefore she loses everything, while a Levia wouldn't fall so far down. And that's what the Gemara says. He also says in Shabbos Kuftes Zayin, where the Gemara says, Makom, the Gemara is talking about the Kedusha of a Sefer Torah. So there's a certain level of Kedusha that the Sefer Torah has where the words are written. What about the sides, the margins? So the margins have a lower level of Kedusha. But what happens if the words are erased? So Gemara seems to say that those spots have even less Kedusha than the margins have. What do you mean? They're less Kedusha. They had words here. Now, the margins are like the Levia. They never were so high in terms of the Kedusha. But the words were, that's like the Kohenes. Maka maksav lo kami boile. Dechi kadosh agav ksavu de kadosh. Azla ksav, azla kedushasa. Right, that's the Gemara. Shalomav shalomata. Venimsa. So what does that have to do with the Pasuk in Az Yashir? Is this where the Meshech Chachma explains the Rambam? The Rambam in Beis HaBechira, where the Rambam discusses, again, there have been volumes written about this Rambam. The Rambam that says in Hilchos Beis HaBechira in Perek Vav, the Kedusha Rishon and the Kedusha Shnia of of the Mikdash and Yerushalayim. So the Rambam says that the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash stayed forever. Once Hashem rested His presence there, Hashras HaShechina, it's forever. So that doesn't change. The Kedusha of Har HaBayis. The Kedusha of the rest of Eretz Yisrael, right, was Paka. Kedusha Rishona, Lo Kitchalas Elavo. Lomani Omer, B'Mikdash V'Yerushalayim. So why do I say, says the Rambam, about the Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim, the Kedusha Rishona is forever, and not for the rest of Eretz Yisrael? So that's where he says the Kedusha of Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash is because of the Shechina ain't a betela. But the Chiyuv in Eretz, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, regarding Shvius and Maisris, that's only because of Kibush. Because of the conquered. They went in and conquered. That gave it sanctity. Once they were unconquered, once they went to Galus, then the Kedusha was Paka. When they went in the next time, then it was through Chazaka. It was through Chazaka settlement, right? They had permission from the nations to go build the second base of Mikdash. There was settlement, and therefore, that type of sanctification, that type of Hakdasha lasts forever. Right? A Kibush could be undone by another Kibush. Chazaka is forever. That's the Rambam. V'kivin shala Ezra v'kitcha lo kitcha v'kivin shala b'chazaka shechziku bo. L'fichach komakam shechziku bo oli bavel v'niskadish b'kdushas Ezra hashnia. Whatever the olim from Bavel were makadish harayu makudash hayom. V'yafo v'shenilkacha aris mimenu, even though the land has been taken from us. V'chaya b'shviyisu maestros ala derach she bi'arnu. And all the mafarshim, starting already with the Kesef Mishnah on the page, ma hahevdel. What is the difference between kibush and chazaka? Right, so kibush is undone by kibush. So chazaka should be undone by chazaka. I settle here, so if I'm unsettled and somebody else settles here, so that should be, no, that should be kadosh. So why is it? Why does the second one last? So all of the mafarshim, describe all the answers that they give to this Rambam. The question is, somehow the second kedusha is stronger, right? Somehow it's more intense, and therefore that's why it lasts. Kibush is weaker, however you explain that. But the Meshech Chachma does the opposite of everybody else. Meshech Chachma says no, exactly the opposite. The first Knisa and Hakdasha, that was more intense and more chamor. But as we just explained, the greater it is, the harder they fall. And therefore, because it had so much Hakdasha with the Aaron, led by the Aaron, so then it was so delicate. It was so delicate, and that's what he compares it to. The case of the Leviah, Shezinsa, and the case of Makam Aksav. V'nimsa, the kibush Eretz Yisrael, haya de ha'aron, v'chein beis ha'migdash, haya de gilu shechina, v'lachein, ki chatu Yisrael, paka, kdushasam, legamrei. V'avi ki'ilu lo nechbeshu, as if it was never had anything. Avabai sheni, ironically, shalo haya kibush haya de ha'aron, shalo haya aron, there was no aron, if you remember. It was buried during Bayis Rishon. U'beis ha'migdash lo haya shechina, like the Gemara says at the end of the first parak of Yuma, the five things that were missing from the second Beis HaMikdash that the first Beis HaMikdash didn't have. The second one didn't have. Imkein lo havi hakdusha baro mala ad ki tifka mehashimamon vachurban. V'lachein adayin hein b'kdushas and kayamim. Therefore, it's still b'kdusha. V'havi ki levia sheniva lo biyasnus lo nifka kdushas levia. And he says that's alluded to in the pasuk ad yavar amcha Hashem zubia rishona. That was with Hashem. The gili shechina ad yavar amzu kanisa. That's biyashnia. That was just the am. Right, that was not, there was no Hashem. And that's why it says, that's why. Because it had to do with Ad Yavar Amzu Kanisa. That's why it's forever. And he continues. That's why it lasts. Vidoke Tevin is very excited about this pshat. Again, different in the opposite in mentality than all the other pshatim that say the second one was stronger. Meshech Chachma says the first one was stronger, but that's exactly what was its weakness, as my Rebbe Rav Rosenzweig sometimes categorized. Its strength is its weakness, right? The strength and the intensity led to its downfall. Okay, let's continue. Says the Gemara by the two dots. The Gemara quotes a machlokas, which is going to relate to Meister Sheni. Shimon bar Baba Shem Rabbi Chanina Zeshu Locheish. If somebody wants to do an incantation on Shabbos, right? Incantations on Shabbos. So is it refuah, not normal refuah? So, says the Gemara, nosin shemen al gabe rosh of alochesh. They used to do some type of incantation by pouring or smearing oil. For what type of illness? The Mefarshim on the page have different pshatim. The Rasilio says, lefi misha koev lo rosho, v'kaved gufo, machmas ayin hara. You have heaviness of feeling in your body because of an ayin hara that somebody put on you. So you want to take it off of you. So you're going to do some type of incantation. The Pnei Moshe says it's something with the sinews in the ears. Lahalos gide aznayim. Right, some type of illness. Whatever it is, you want to do some type of incantation with oil. So the Rabbi Hanina says you're not allowed to put oil in your hands or in a kli like you would normally do and then rub it on your head. You got to pour it directly on your head. Take the bottle of oil and pour it directly on the head. No sin shemen agave rosho vilochesh. Pour it on the head and then lochesh. Ubilvaj lo itin lo biyad velo bekli. You can't put it in hand or kli. As we'll see, the Marafolda here says, uvdin dechol. That's the way that you normally do it during the week, so we don't want you to do it like that. Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi, Rabbi Yochanan b'shem Rabbi Yana. I know, no sin me biyad be mekli. Right, they say you're allowed to put it into a kli or in your hand and then I'll put it on your head. So machlokas, whether on Shabbos, one is allowed to take oil and pour, they have to put it directly on the head, or they could put it into their hands or into a kli first and then put it into the, and then put it on one's head. So what's the, my benayim, what's the nafkamina? What's the nukudis of machlokas? Here's the Gemara's going to end up having three suggestions. Number one, me'isa. Number one, do we assume it's an interesting question. How do you explain this? Do we assume it's disgusting? And people would not want to pour oil directly from the bottle onto their head. They'd rather take it in their hands and then, or put it in a kli and then put it on their heads. So me'isa. So man to amar nosei. The one who says nosei maybe arbei me'kli. The one who says you're allowed to do it with your hands or a kli ma'osu. So he assumes that it's disgusting to pour it directly on, right? And therefore what? And therefore we allow it. We allow it again. This is not an issa daraisa we're talking about. So this is a drabbanan. This is drabbanan. You know, there's more flexibility about it. The Marafolda says a little bit later, if you don't know, if it's disgusting and you don't allow them to do it, so then they're just going to be in pain, and therefore they're going to violate bittul onik Shabbos, right? So that's why we would allow to do it. So maybe one opinion says you're allowed to put it in your hand or kli because otherwise it would be disgusting. Umanta amar nosin shemen al gabei rosho v'lochesh anemos. And the one who says that you can pour it directly on. You have to pour it directly on. He says it's not so disgusting. You think, what's that machlokas about? Machlokas and metzius. How disgusting is it? How much do people not want to do it? Unclear. But that is number one. Number one, machlokas, whether you have to pour it directly on your head or you're allowed to put it in your hands or a kli and then smear it on your head. The machlokas is about mius. Amar Rabbi Yona, this is what this has to do with our mesechta. Rabbi Yona has a different pshat. Maiser sheni beinehon. The machlokas between them is about maiser sheni. We're going to see this means whether we're worried that people are going to compare Hilchos Shabbos to Hilchos Maaser Sheni. Right? Whether they're going to compare. And if we allow something for Shabbos, would people automatically allow it for Kedushas Maaser Sheni? That's the issue. Manda Amar Nosim Bebi Yad Vei Mekli, according to the one who says, you are allowed. You could put it in your hands the normal way. Maaser Sheni Usser. That opinion must hold that there's no chash that people will think that, hey, if it's mutter for Shabbos, you're allowed to put it in your hands, or in a kli for Shabbos, you're also allowed to do that for Maaser Sheni, which would be a problem. Why? Because you're allowed to smear things on your head for Maaser Sheni. That's fine. But if you put it in your hands, or in a kli, and then pour it on your head, so then some of it will be left on your hand, and some of it will be left in the kli. That's just the way it works, right? You're not going to get every drop out. So if it's mutter for Shabbos to put it in the hand of the kli, would that lead people to think it's mutter for Maaser Sheni, which it's not? So the Gemara answer says no, right? Mandar nosi maybe yad bei mekli. According to the one who says that you're allowed to put it in your hand or in a kli, Maaser Sheni usser. There's no problem. People will still recognize that Maaser Sheni is usser to do this in because you're going to be mopsed in some of the Maaser Sheni. Manda amar, but according to the other opinion, nosi shemen al gabei rosho velochish. But according to the one who says you got to do it directly, Maaser Sheni mutter. It must be because if you wouldn't do it directly, people would think that it's mutter for Maaser Sheni too. People would think just like for Shabbos, it's mutter, so they're Maaser Sheni, but that's not true. And that's why this opinion holds. You have to pour it directly on the head because people might get confused between Shabbos and Maaser Sheni. Good. There is a major discussion about lochesh al hamaka. It's one of the averis, about doing an incantation on a maka, whether that's even something that is effective. Right? Famous Rambam in the world of Rambams. The Rambam says, in more than one place, in the Pirshei Mishnayos and the Hilchos Avodah Zarah, that all these things that the Torah asers, they aser because it smacks of Avodah Zarah, but they don't work. The Rambam is clear. All these incantations and things like that don't work. The Dvarim Ha'elu, says the Rambam, in the end of the 11th parak of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, he's talking about, there he spoke about Kishuf and other types of avers. Dvarim Elu Kulan Direi Sheker V'Kazav Hein. It's all false. V'Hein She'hitu Bohen Ovdi Avodah Zarah V'Hakadmonim L'Goye Ha'aratzos K'dei She'yinhanu Achareihem V'Hein Royli Yisrael She'hein Chachamim Michukamim. It's not really for the Jewish people who are wise, wise men. Lehi mashech b'havalim elu, v'lo lahalos al halev sheish b'hen ta'ale. Don't think it's effective at all. Shenemar ki lanochash b'yakov v'lo kasim b'yisrael. V'nemar ki agayim elu sharata yorish osam al ma'onim v'kosim yishmu. Kol amam in dvarim elu v'chayotzi b'hen. Anyone who believes in this kind of stuff, these incantations, these other things that can be done. U'mechashi b'libo shein emes v'divri chachma. Aval ha-Torah asra otzan. That's what many of you are trying to believe. If you think it's effective, but the Torah asers it, right? Why does the Torah aser it? Is it effective and the Torah asers it, or it's meaningless that the Torah asers it? So the Rambam feels it's meaningless and the Torah asers it, because you shouldn't act this way. But the Rambam says, if you believe that it's true, they work, but the Torah asers it, Eino elemen aschalam u'machasri adas. You're a fool, says the Rambam. U'bichlal anashim v'ktanim she'in daitan shlema. Right? Those women were illiterate in those days. Avo bali achachma v'tmime hadeo adas yeidu barayos barus. Anyone who has a brain, says the Rambam, will know with complete faith. Shekol elu advarim she'asra Torah einon divrei chachma ela tohu v'hevel. She'nimshichu bohen chaseri adas v'natchu kol darki emes b'cholon. Wow. So that's very strong, the Rambam has, there in the end of the 11th parak of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, and he has it in the Pirshei Mishnayos as well. And he has it in the Mor Nevuchim as well, in Gimel Lamed Zayin. In Gimel Lamed Zayin. Other Rishonim aren't so convinced of that. Again, the Maariz Chayis points out in Kol Kisvei Maariz Chayis, in Mavod LeTalmud, in the 31st parak, the Pashup Shad of many Gemaras and Shas is not like the Rambam. The Rambam knocks out Shadim and Kemiyas and Lachash. And the Gemara says, the Gemara has Dafim and Dafim. Two Dafim Avodah Zarah, two Dafim Gittin. If you have this disease, do this incantation. If you do this disease, do this. They clearly believed in it. That everything there, those three Dafim are all a mushal. All somehow a mushal. The Rambam would say, yeah. But the Maariz Chayis says, it's very hard to say that. Don't explain it in such a far-fetched way. The simple pshat is that they believed in these realities. Many believed. The Rambam doesn't. Das acheresimo. Becholzos sasa stam lashon abrisas v'atamad mekomos rabos. Don't say it's all a mashal, right? The Rambam, you can say that sometimes, but not always. And therefore, says the Maariz Chayis, the Pashup Shad is like the Rishonim that say it is effective, but it is just something that we try to stay away from. Tamim tia im Hashem alakecha. There's one other Mar Makom, and that is the Rambam and the Gra, right? That's in Yaredeya. The Shulchan Aruch quotes in Yaredeya, quotes the Rambam about a lochesh al hamaka. The language of the Shulchan Aruch is Halochesh Mishnashcho Akrav, he goes through here. It's by the Gra also in Sifkatan Yud Gimel. He says Mishnashcho Akrav Mutar Lochashalav. If somebody got bitten by a scorpion, you could do an incantation on it. Afilu B'Shabbos V'Afal Pi She'ein Adavra Mol Klum. Even though it's meaningless, even though it doesn't help, but because the guy thinks it helps. Right, you got to do it to calm him down. But that's where he says ve'afal pi she'ein hadavar mo'al klum. That's the language of the Rambam in Hilchos Machalas Asuros, and the Gra here jumps on the Rambam. Great, just on the Rambam, like the Maariz Chayis said. Kol abal achrav chalku alav shrei harbe lachashim ne'emru b'gemara v'hu nimshach achar philosophia. The Rambam was influenced by his philosophy. But look around, the Gemara talks about it clearly. Vator he'idav, yutaninim v'chulu, I'm skipping now to the end, philosophia hitaso barov likcha. The philosophy influenced the Rambam. Lefarish ha-Gemara ha-Kol b'derech litzi, to explain every Gemara as a mashal and an allegory, v'lakar osam mipashtan. Chas v'shalom, says the Gra. Eini ma'amid v'hem v'lo mehem v'lo mehamonam. El ha-Kol b'derech mipashtan, el she'ish b'hem p'nimius. V'lo p'nimius shabali ha-philosophy, she'im ha-chitzonius, el shabali ha-emes. So that's the Gra in Yaradea. Usually the Gra is very concise, why it gives you a little marmukko. But here he spends time. Okay, so what did we just say? This machlokas about when you have oil and you want to put it on your body, you have a wound of some kind and you want to put some oil on it, do an incantation. Machlokas, whether the oil must be poured on directly or could be put in your hands and then put on. What's the machlokas about? A, we said maybe it's about whether it's disgusting or not to pour it directly. Number two, we said whether there is a chash that Maaser Sheni would be compared to Shabbos. And if you allow Maaser Sheni, if you allow Shabbos, would you allow Maaser Sheni? Which we don't want to. Rabbi Yossi says, Rechi kol shu mutter b'Shabbos mutter b'Maaser Sheni. Kol shu azer b'Shabbos azer b'Maaser Sheni. Is there an exact parallel between Shabbos and Maaser Sheni? You think people are going to make that mistake? People aren't going to make that mistake. Fatani, madicha hi isha bina b'yayin b'bnei azeya. If a woman, it was really hot outside, and she goes, she doesn't have any washcloth, the water's out. So she has a little wine. She can wash off her son with wine to get some of the sweat off. B'truma aser. But if it was truma wine, that would be aser to do. And he truma, he maaser sheni. And truma maaser sheni have the same status. They're both kadosh. So it's obvious that Shabbos and maaser sheni have different rules. So what are you saying that, I'm worried that people are going to compare them? No, I don't think so. So the Gemara says, Maikadun. So what's the nafkamina? Why would Rabbi Chanina aser? Why would Rabbi Chanina make you pour it onto your head? Right? It's disgusting. And there's a chiluk to Shabbos and Maaser Sheni. So the answer must be, Bavanchalo Yaseh B'Shabbos, K'derech Shoseh B'Chol. Right? This is what the Mara Fold already mentioned earlier. Uvdin D'Chol. Even if something is allowed, we want it to be done in a different way than was done during the weekday, and that's his problem. Normally, you apply oil by pouring it onto your hand or a cup, so we don't want you to do the normal way that's done, and that's why he says what he says. Okay, two dots. Dogim, back to the Mishnah. Dogim just bashed the kavlo l'shal ma'aser sheni. Yeah, fish of chulin, fish, and you made a leek and fish dish. So you have leek of ma'aser sheni that cooked with fish. Fish bichu, but now it appreciated because it's worth more than the ingredients that went into it, right? So, how do you measure then? If the fish, which is chulin, is worth a certain amount, and the leeks of Maaser Sheni are worth another amount, but now the whole thing appreciates. So, hashavach lefi cheshbon, you go by ratio. If the Maaser Sheni is 20% of the ingredients, so 20% of the appreciation is considered Maaser Sheni. You go by the appreciation. Amar Rav Hoshea. We're going to switch the gear. So, Delo Kareb Yehudahi. Our Mishnah, which talks about leeks giving taste into the fish, that's against Rabbi Yehuda. Right? The Tanin and Rabbi Yehuda, we had this back in Shrumos, I think. Rabbi Yehuda Mater Betzachna, Shino Elalita Lasazuma. Rabbi Yehuda says, the Tzachna, which is like a fish brine, the onions, that Mishnah is talking about onions there. So if you have chulin food with truma onions, you put truma onions into chulin food, so the Rebbe Yehuda says, that's not a problem. Why? Because it's only there to absorb the odor, to cover up the odor, but not more than that, and there's not there for tom, and therefore, there's no problem, you don't have to worry about that that taste. But one second, there's Rebbe Yehuda. So Rebbe Yehuda says, we're comparing onions and leek. So just like Rebbe Yehuda says there, the Mishnah in Shrumos, that he says, Tzachna is not a problem because the taste is not called a taste. So too in our Mishnah, our Mishnah, God Daka gives a case of fish and leeks giving off taste into the fish. So obviously it's against Rebbe Yehuda. Because Rebbe Yehuda says, leeks/onions don't give off taste. Also, we have this, if it sounds a little familiar, we have this back, I think, in Shrumos. Rabbanan de Kisri made another comment. They said, Hadam Rabbi Yavo, Abshem Rabbi Yochanan, Kali Surin Shabbat Misharin, Kilo Batzel, Kilo Kaflot, all Isurin in the Torah. What do you need? What's the measurement that you need? Well, if this would be an onion or a leek, how much taste would it give off? And if, whatever that is, that's as much as you have to be machmir. Even if you have a food that gives off very little taste. Rabbi Yochanan says that you have to treat it as if the whole, right, the whole item is a batzel or a kafot. So that also delok Rabbi Yehuda. Right, that clearly is also not Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says there's no taste giving off by onions. Right, and here we see that there is taste given off by onions. That's the example that is given. Period. Modi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda, though, would admit, bibatzel shel hektish, Modi, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm sorry, Modi, Rabbi Yehuda, bibatzel shel hektish, Modi, Rabbi Yehuda, bibatzel shel avodah zarah. Rabbi Yehuda would agree by both of those, because, if you remember, hektish and avodah zarah are both asur bahana'ah. If something is only asur b'achila, fine. Rabbi Yehuda says the onions do not give off taste, which interesting. We consider that the most charif, right? The nightmares of rabbis involve onions, right? Everything else, milchik, clay, shakat, cold, clear. But then I cut an onion, pariv, milchik, onions is the nightmare. So says the Gemara here, there Rabbi Yehuda holds that onions doesn't give off, but for hektash and avodah zarah, that's the isur hana. So you still get hana by the fact that it removes the odor. That's still hana, and therefore, that would still, Rabbi Yehuda would agree in that case. Remember, Avodah Zarah includes all the items that are Asur Bahana. Avodah Zarah has four categories, if you remember. Avodah Zarah, Noy Avodah Zarah, the beautification of it. I put some clothes on it, I put jewels on it. That's Noy Avodah Zarah. Mishamshe Avodah Zarah, that's like shovels and brooms and stuff like that. And finally, Tikrovis Avodah Zarah. Tikrovis is what I actually give as a carbon to the Avodah Zarah. So those, all four of those are usher bahana. The tikroves, that's the one that's not batel. All the other ones, you can be mevatel them, bitel avodah zarah, but tikroves, we hold, is not able to be batel. Okay, we'll have to stop here. Yud Dalet and Maaser Sheni.